Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy
way. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the movie Baby Driver, 2017, directed by Edgar Wright. Drew, this has been on your list for a long time.
Yes, it has. I saw this movie the weekend it came out on video. Did not see it in the theater. And I thought it was quite delightful. I didn't know anything about it, really, except that it had a funny title. But yeah, this has a lot of elements of things that I like. So I've been eagerly anticipating the day when I would be able to talk to the two of you about it and see what you thought.
Brother Jay, you watched it just a moment ago, right?
Yes.
Did Jesse watch it too?
Yes.
And what'd you guys think?
Well, he fell asleep after half an hour, which is funny because it's a car movie. And yeah, so it's... you would think he'd be all about that, but no. And up to the point where I looked at the movie yesterday on where it was iTunes or Prime or wherever, up to the point where I actually looked at it, I was under the impression it was an animated Disney film.
Ah, excellent. So were you pleasantly surprised or you were not pleasantly surprised?
Bitterly disappointed.
Yeah.
I have many thoughts.
Excellent. Are any of them good thoughts? Well, we'll get there. Okay. I hadn't seen the movie until, yesterday, I think. Day before yesterday, maybe. And I was telling Brother Drew before we started recording, I watched this movie yesterday, and then this morning I started watching another John Hamm movie, The Jesus Rolls. John Turturro movie about his character from The Big Lebowski. Jesus. Oh. It's not great. But John Hamm's in it, and John Hamm is actually great.
The pedophile bowler, right?
Yeah, well, it opens with him getting out of jail. And so he has to meet up with his friend Bobby Cannavale, and they go visit his mom and steal a car from John Hamm, and, you know, that's how he gets started. Eventually, they'll be bowling, I think.
But in The Big Lebowski, wasn't there a bit where he had to go introduce himself to his neighbors?
Yes, I was wondering how they would deal with that. And, so they dealt with it. It's interesting. Again, I'll probably watch the rest of it, but it's not a knee slapper. Because it's kind of like when somebody does a character and it just does it to death. That's kind of how this is. Like, a little bit of Jesus is all you need. You don't need a feature film of Jesus. Jesus the bowler.
So they didn't beat it into the ground enough to where it came fully back around and became good?
Not in the first 40 minutes it didn't. We'll see how it works out. I mean, again, for, you know, there's stuff there. I mean, it's still John Turturro, you know, it's still quality actors, but, you know, whether they get all the way around. And hey, the first time I watched The Big Lebowski, I was not impressed either. That had to grow on me, so.
But it did grow on you?
It did. Yeah, eventually.
The last time I watched The Big Lebowski, I was not impressed.
Yeah, well. Okay, so let's go to this movie, though. Baby Driver, Edgar Wright. Now, can it be said that we pretty much all like Edgar Wright movies? At least the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost Edgar Wright movies?
Yes.
What other Edgar Wright movies are there?
Well, let's see. All the other ones I think he was fired from, right? Wasn't he fired from Ant-Man or was he in Ant-Man?
He had been working on a version of Ant-Man for a long time before. Okay. He parted ways with Marvel. Yeah.
There you go.
Is he just difficult to work with?
I don't know. It's hard to tell whether he's difficult to work with, or maybe he is. He doesn't like being told to edit or cut or change things.
He also did Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh.
I have not seen that. I've heard it's good.
It's worth watching.
I like that one quite a bit. That'd be the only thing I've ever liked Michael Cera in.
Well.
I take it you didn't see Youth in Revolt.
No.
See, I just mix blur him together with Jesse Eisenberg. So they're all the same person.
Youth in Revolt's a better book than it is a movie.
So, Baby Driver.
What did you think of Baby Driver, Eric?
I liked it. At first, the opening sequence with the opening song and how a lot of the lyrics are in graffiti and signs as he's walking down the street dancing. I thought, oh, this is very clever, but if the whole movie is going to be like this, it's going to be tedious. It wasn't. It was just fun.
The whole movie was like that.
Well, I like the music, and as we, I hope you recognize the song at the end that I really like, because I have jammed it onto the podcast so many times, but we'll get there.
The T-Rex song?
No. No, although it's funny because that was the first thing I thought of. I didn't even heard of the Beck. I'm not a Beck fan. I don't know any Beck songs, except maybe Loser. And even then, I couldn't tell you any words from it, except Why Don't You Kill Me, which seems like a good idea. But anyway, in Atlanta, Georgia, and this was an Atlanta-heavy movie, they got their tax credit for sure. In Atlanta, Georgia, a red car pulls up across the street from a bank. Inside are three robbers, Buddy, John Hamm, from the town, Darling, Eliza Gonzalez from Hobbs and Shaw, and the post-production Godzilla vs. King Kong, and Griff, John Bernthal, who actually is, of the three, is the most famous on our podcast, because he's been in The Accountant, Sicario, and The Ghostwriter. And then their getaway driver, Baby, played by Ansel Elgort. Now, apparently Ansel Elgort is... as a teen heartthrob or something. He was in the Divergent series, right? And was in the Goldfinch, I think.
No idea.
Yeah, but I didn't recognize him. I thought his southern accent was great. I don't know if it's his or not, probably not. But he sort of leaned on it, which I thought was sort of charming, being in a Georgian movie.
I think he narrowly lost out on the role of young Han Solo.
Oh, to another guy we've never heard of.
Yeah.
Whose name is?
Elgort Ansel.
Okay. Yeah. No. What is it? What is young Han Solo's name? It's like Blanky Whiterson or something, right? It's like the most boring name.
No.
Okay.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, there you go. So it's Whitey Whiterson. Anyway, the robbers enter the bank while Baby jams out to the song Bell Bottoms. So this movie is all about music because Baby is listening to music all the time. Because we find out later that Baby has, like, what, tinnitus or something from a car accident he had when he was a kid, which explains some scars on him as well as emotional scars.
Yeah. So he has a ringing in his ears that he's trying to drown out all the time.
Yes.
A ringing that we get to experience every time he takes one of his headphones out.
Yeah. Which is fun.
Very clever.
He is accused at various times in various jobs of having some sort of retardation. Nope. And this movie reintroduced me to the majesty of one Kevin Spacey. Because Kevin Spacey does a thing really well. Now, arguably, it's always this one thing he's doing. Mm-hmm. But he does it so well. You know, again, it's... It was a little bit hard to divide the artist from the art, especially you can kind of see maybe a tipsy Kevin Spacey crawling into bed with a young Ansel Elgort by accident in some sort of Casey Affleck way.
He was looking a little Elton John puffy.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't we all these days, though?
I mean, I think this is the last movie he'll ever make, right?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I doubt he'll be back.
The thing is, he's so good at this. Like, who else is as good at this?
He'll have a mea culpa and you know, some kind of redemption and
oh, but he, no, that's not his
send style. Anthony Rapp a huge check.
Well, no, it's not. See, it isn't his style. Remember, this is how he came out in the first place. He doesn't like to admit things. And then he shows up on Twitter and social media once in a while, still today, as if he's been forgiven.
So the one thing that he does, it's kind of, he doesn't have dialogue, right? He just gives mini monologues.
Exactly. His whole thing is a monologue.
Mm-hmm. He's always talking at people, not engaging them in conversation.
Yeah. And often just either, I mean, in the case of what House of Cards, he's talking directly into camera, but
right.
It's always clever exposition as well.
Mm-hmm. His delivery is always very crisp.
Yes. You can see it works on the theater because he probably owns that stage as he's edging other actors off the stage, I'm guessing. I'm guessing that maybe if he were in the original Star Trek, perhaps George Takei would have issues with him as well as William Shatner. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus. George Takei doesn't like William Shatner?
Tell me you're joking.
No.
They are nearly mortal enemies.
Yeah, yeah. He does not like the fact that that William Shatner not only stole all the spotlight, like hogged all the camera time while he was on it, he also pressured them into adding to his camera time to reduce the camera time of his fellow actors. Because he was the goddamn star of that show.
This is not a recent conflict.
No.
Oh, no.
But it is an ongoing conflict. I mean, perhaps as they're both entering their 90s or whatever, they are they're going to mend fences. But George Takei doesn't seem like a fence mender necessarily. Like, he'll give good lip service to it, but...
I don't think they appear together.
Yeah. Although, I don't think I've ever heard George Takei accuse William Shatner of killing his wife, so that's probably good. It's one road not taken. William Shatner's accused of killing his wife.
Because she drowned?
Yeah.
So is this like Henry Winkler's long-running feud with Tom Hanks?
No, this was 100% out in the open, up front, literal disdain.
Yeah, George Takei is, he's never shy to talk about it. He doesn't volunteer anything, but if people ask him, he will discuss it openly.
Well, but I sense it's a sort of a one-sided thing where people in Seattle hate people from LA, and people from LA just don't think about people in Seattle ever.
Did you guys watch Mad Men?
I have not. Not a single episode.
I've seen the first season.
Yeah, there's a later season. There's a scene in a later season. This is apropos because it involves Jon Hamm. But there's a scene that describes just that exact sentiment where Don Draper is going up in an elevator with one of the art guys working at the firm. So one more junior guy. And he like just shit all over this guy's art, the presentation he put together for a client. And so he was super pissed at him. They were kind of bickering in the elevator, and the junior guy said something like, "You know, when I think about you, I feel sorry for you." And his Don Draper's response was, "I don't think about you at all." I think about that a lot.
It's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry. Back to this movie is a lot of style. Okay, so I'm probably going to yada yada a lot of plot issues, but this movie is all about car chases and music, and Edgar Wright thought about this movie like 22 years ago.
It's very thematic.
Yeah, in relation to the bell bottom song in a car chase, like setting a car chase to music, and then he came up with the setting up the heist to also like the actual getaway to be timed with the music, and then the thing with the ears and all that. So this movie was built around that music, which is why the music is so important. And it's nice that it's so varied.
And I think a thing that works well in this movie is everybody in this movie has tons of charisma.
Yes.
Like I don't know how you guys felt, but I liked pretty much every character in this movie.
Yeah, because, okay, so here we go. We got baby driving He's the getaway driver. He's the best of the best, blah, blah, blah. Turns out he's working off debt because he stole Doc's car once or something?
Mm-hmm. And it has some product in it.
Something in it, yeah. And so he owes Doc some money. Doc is Kevin Spacey, who's the brains behind these heists. And they are robbing banks, and then toward the end they try to rob a post office. And the car chases I thought were decent. I mean, you know, lots of drifting and lots of tire burning, but you know, there's lots of police action, which that was fun. You can see from this movie why spike strips actually kill police officers, so they try not to use them as much as possible. They're very popular briefly, but it turns out you basically take a big metal chain with spikes on it, and a car runs over it, and if it hits the wrong place and ends up swinging, you don't know what's going to happen.
His parkour running scenes were good, too.
Yeah, I was not expecting that toward the end. With what turns out to be one of my favorite songs. But we'll get there in a second. So we get this car chase scene. It's very, very impressive. And you get to hear basically like the legend of Baby. Like, Baby's been stealing cars since he was like young enough or old enough to like see over the steering wheel. And chasing or having cops chase him just for fun. But Baby also lives with a paraplegic deaf man named Joseph, played by C.J. Jones. And so there's all sorts of sign language in this movie, too. Which is not, they don't subtitle the sign language. What the hell, that's pretty great.
Oh, they do.
What do you mean, oh, they do?
They do.
They subtitle the sign language?
I think if you watch like an official version of the movie, it will be subtitled.
You're saying I didn't watch an official version of the movie? Anyway, so there's a little bit of sign language in here, which is also fun.
And it's also all subtitled, so it's great. You can follow along, no problem.
Yeah.
You wonder what pissed me off, though? When I was going to rent this yesterday for $1.99 on Amazon Prime, I thought, $1.99. It's totally worth renting for $1.99. And I thought, okay. So tonight when I went to rent it, it was no longer $1.99 because it's now Friday.
Surge pricing for rentals?
Yeah. So I was pissed off.
Do you get all the special features for that?
Mm-mm. But at least you got the subtitles.
Well, I got it from iTunes instead.
Was it cheaper?
Turns out it was the same price, but I wasn't going to reward Amazon by giving them the money.
Fuck you, Bezos.
I'd rather give some other big megacorp my money.
There you go.
So, Baby only has, what, one more job to pull to get even?
I didn't buy any of that, though, bullshit. I knew that wasn't the case. You knew that wasn't the case.
No, because, so he spelled it out.
Yeah, and it's only like, 35 minutes into the movie?
Yeah.
Of course there's another job.
So, we also learn that Baby is also recording everything around him so he could take these recordings on like a mini tape deck and then using all these old analog style like techniques making his own
scratch tapes.
They're not really dance music tracks, but
they're mixes.
Yeah. So, it's really, I love that scene. I love that scene as much as Drew likes briefcases.
It's he's like a DJ Shadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a Fatboy Slim.
Or BT.
Or Moby.
Oh, Lordy. Was his name Gunter?
What?
Was his name Gunter?
The guy, you talking about Moby?
No, the guy that was aggrieved because Moby borrowed his discs and didn't
forget him.
Oh. Yeah.
Something like that. It's from the Heavyweight podcast. If you listen to the Heavyweight podcast, one about Moby.
I've heard that episode.
Yeah, it's great. Because it turns out you don't like either of those guys. In fact, you kind of maybe feel sorry for Moby at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. I actually like Moby's music, but as a person, human being, I can't stand him.
I just think he was one of these insufferable artists, you know? Like, you wouldn't want to be around him.
I think he's now one of those insufferable artists.
You don't think he was originally?
I don't think he was originally. I think, anyway, doesn't matter.
Exactly. But, Moby, if you want to come on the show to defend your honor, please do. We'd love to have you.
No, I wouldn't.
No, I think Play is a fantastic album.
I agree.
Lots of good tracks from that.
Again, I like his music a great deal, but listening to him outside of that realm, I can't.
The Heat soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
The Bourne movies.
Yeah, I was going to say the Bourne movies. He had a couple of good hits with toe tappers with that, those movies. And he probably produces a shit ton of artists now. I mean, hey, that's what you should do, right? You make your money. You still want to be creative. You produce, baby. I know nothing about.
Do you guys watch the TV show Songland?
Mm-mm.
It was highly recommended to me just this week, but I have not seen a single episode.
By our mother?
No, actually. Although she recommended it about a month or so ago, I think.
I love that show. It's probably my favorite reality show.
It's where somebody comes on the show with a song, like a songwriter comes on the show with a song, and then they match him up with a producer, and then the producer helps them do the song in the style of the producer.
An artist comes on the show. There's a panel of three producers, and then they audition songs from lesser or unknown songwriters, and then they whittle it down to one song that artist will record.
Hold on. So are there three people in this equation? The producer, the artist, and the songwriter?
Three producers.
Okay.
They each take a song from an unknown songwriter.
Okay.
And producer it up, and then they audition that song, each of them, for the artist, and then the artist chooses the song to actually record and release.
So it's one artist per episode or per producer? Or?
Per episode, yeah. There's four people audition songs, and then one gets kicked out, and the other three get to work with one of the producers. Then they redo the songs and come back and play them again.
And then Kelly Clarkson decides which of the three she likes?
Yep.
That sounds tedious.
No, it's awesome, and it's fascinating, and because they're all such like musical geniuses, the producers, that they hear a song and they instantly like start tinkering with it on the spot. And it's amazing. And they're all very positive. Like it's not the cringy kind of show like American Idol used to be.
With Sanjaya or whatever.
Where the whole point was to see how creative Simon Cowell could be shitting on somebody.
And it's called,
which is funny.
It's called Songland.
Songland.
Okay.
Yeah. There's probably 15 or 16 episodes.
I don't know the name of the podcast, but April Richardson has a podcast with her husband, and her husband's a musician. And so April Richardson, I'm familiar with her. She's a comedian, but she's really into music. Like she followed Morrissey for a very long time and was into all that. Lots of like rockabilly and ska and all this other bands. But also has a very eclectic musical taste. So what she does every episode is I think her husband's name is Martin. She says, hey, the song, I don't know, like pick a song, like say the song Deborah by Trex. Like, mm-hmm. Why do I like this song? And he breaks it down into what makes it a successful pop song or a successful song. And it's all like that. Drew, you recommended a podcast that talks about breaking down an individual song and talking about things like tonic and having keys match up again to give you that familiar feeling. Yep. And he talks about all of this kind of thing where he'll play whatever song it is like on the piano and explain, oh, this part is this swing and this part is this thing. And this is why you like it. And this is why it's very clever. And this is how other songs it does. The problem is I think it's strictly behind a paywall. So, but look out April Richardson, because she's trying to fund her, because she now lives in England. And so it's harder for her to do stand up. Hmm. So she's trying to supplement, and she's the one that did the Go Bayside, where she had a guest on, and they watched and then talked about every single episode of Saved by the Bell, just the original series, not before or after. And it was fun because, you know, it's all goofy, it's all silly, and it's just fun. And she also she was one of the people on the forefront of the abbreviating things to death in a way that makes us old people cringe. But like she would call something adorbs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it would drive like Jimmy Pardo insane when she would guest on his show.
And obvi.
Totes.
I heard at one point the Lady to Lady show, one I think maybe Barbara Gray or maybe Tess Barker used the word abortion, which I think was a step too far. Anyway, so back to Baby Driver. So Baby goes into Bo's Diner where he meets a pretty young
waitress. Are you going to edit in another like plot synopsis to this episode?
I might have to. Yeah, wasn't it helpful last time? I really do think it was helpful.
It's my favorite part of that episode.
Because we talked so much. We just went from character to character, not talking about anything in a linear fashion. It was great. I loved the conversation, but it was like, oh, this isn't going to work. So anyway.
That's how you know it's going to be a good episode where you have to start it out by saying, I'm going to edit in some structure right here.
Hey, you're stealing my style.
Okay, but here's the thing. Does anybody really care if we discuss the plot? If we're discussing the movie in other aspects? Is the plot really material?
Mom cares.
No, you have to know, because we're spoiling the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, you have to have some sort of frame of reference, don't you think? That was my argument last week, where we just went right off into characters, and sometimes we called them just by the actors' names and not the characters' names, but we referenced what they were doing, which we hadn't set up in any way. So I thought, well.
So picky.
Okay. So again, like I said, I was going to yada yada a lot of the stuff here, but so Baby's a getaway driver or whatever, and he also makes these mixtapes, which are very clever, and he has one mixtape that's in the center of his cassettes, like big old briefcase of cassettes, which also
says,
is
wow.
Nostalgic. And yes, exactly. It says, wow, if it's upside down. But it says Mom, because Mom was a singer. Mom, actually, in flashback, is played by Sky Ferreira. I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong.
Ferreira.
Is it just Ferreira? Sky Ferreira?
I think so.
Is she just I know she's been in some movies, including The Green Inferno, which I'm going to have to go back and watch again, and Lords of Chaos, which is fantastic. I really want to talk about that movie, too, at some point. But she's a singer, right? Isn't that her main profession? Sky Ferreira? Maybe not.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay. Well, there's no way to find out, so fuck it. Anyway, so Baby goes to Bo's Diner, and he sees a pretty young waitress named Deborah, played by Lily James, and she's singing a song. Singing a song, some sort of baby song. But anyway, he is recording her. She notices the recording. They have like a meet cute.
Mm-hmm. And where do we know Lily James from?
Where do we know Lily James from?
Yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I have not seen that.
Downton Abbey.
I have not seen that.
No, she's great in Downton Abbey. She's Cousin Rose.
Oh. Oh, she's great in this. I mean, she doesn't have a ton to work with, but she's pretty fun. But they have really good chemistry, and you hear him talk for the first time, and the only time in the movie, pretty much, is when he talks to her. And we hear that that he has different iPods for different occasions, because he has to listen to music like 24/7, so he's got all these different iPods, and even the iPod that he had the day he was in the accident that killed his mom and dad. So we get to hear about Deborah. She only knows one song about Deborah, and that's the Beck song, which I had never heard of, but he knows the song by Trex, Deborah, which it's got ridiculous lyrics, but the congos are amazing in that song. I think they're congos. Maybe it's a combination of congo bongo, but on the live clip I put on Facebook, it's just a guy with congos, and he's sitting on a chair, like a drummer stool, and Mark Bolan is sitting like Indian style or crisscross applesauce, but it was like in the 70s, so it's Indian style, just on the stage with his acoustic guitar, and they're singing Deborah. Always looks like a zebra. So Doc brings Baby back for the next job. Because he wants his baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Well, no, Baby has one more job to pay off the debt.
Yes. That's why he's brought back. Either way you slice it, Doc brings his baby back. Baby back. Baby back. Baby back.
Just going to drive that right into the ground.
That's my style. Uh-huh. It's at this point that I'm going to drive this joke into the ground.
Did you immediately recognize? I did. Did you immediately recognize Flea, by the way?
I didn't.
Instantly, I did.
Yeah. I mean, I know he was in it, but I didn't.
I didn't recognize the Asian dude, but he was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Hat. Yeah. Again, Edgar Wright, he writes really funny dialogue. And then Bats, Jamie Foxx, who is just right on that edge of being too over the top. Like,
yes.
Like, he was really doing his Jamie Foxx thing, but I think it actually worked out pretty well.
I was rooting for him to get killed.
Of course.
Well, yeah, absolutely, but...
I was assuming he was a cop. Well, until it determined that he's a stone-cold murderer from the get.
Yeah, you were rooting for him to die, because he was a dick, but he was very funny and very clever. And yeah, he didn't quite cross the line to being too over the top, but he was pushing it.
Yeah, and as the movie got... toward the end, the movie became more and more over the top, but in a good way, I think. Mm-hmm. Like little things like, you know, so Doc sets up this whole thing where they're going to be doing a heist from an armored truck, and they're all supposed to be wearing the Halloween, Michael Myers Halloween masks. I thought that was hilarious.
That was very funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a Halloween mask. It is Michael Myers. So this job goes all wrong. Because we already have Bats, Jamie Foxx, who just straight up kills somebody, which Baby doesn't particularly like. It's probably not part of the plan. And then during the getaway, things also go awry because there's just a random Marine that happens to witness this whole thing and jumps into action. Which is actually... not all that far from what really could happen these days in America, for sure.
Yeah, especially not in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think did that jogger guy get killed in Georgia? Was that the state he was?
The jogger guy?
You know, the black guy who was going on his jog, but may have also walked through a house under construction, but then was ambushed by a bunch of severely white guys with guns who ended up killing him in self-defense.
After chasing him?
It's hard to fucking pull these self-defense. If you go hunting and you shoot your game who is unarmed, it's hard to call that self-defense, isn't it?
That was indeed Georgia, so.
Yeah, not good, not good. Fucking the worst. But anyway, this, by the way, is reason number 16 why I fucking hate Batman.
What?
It's a longer story. Vigilantes are jackasses. I don't care what kind of clothes they wear.
Nobody murdered your parents.
Well, okay. I mean, I get it. The guy's got problems. But so anyway.
Jennifer, you got problems.
I saw a thing on Twitter where someone posted, you know, Batman could lose all his superpowers if he was just audited.
Yeah. Yeah. Bats.
I'm sorry. It's like a joke grenade. Yeah. No, I just it boomeranged.
A batarang.
Yeah, your laughter comes through way more crisper as audio when you don't have it muffled by your giant beard.
I say there's no baffling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're plenty baffled.
Hey, me posting the pictures of me having shaved my beard mostly off has had the most activity in a single day on my Facebook ever.
Yes, of course.
Including people that never respond.
Yeah. You got to do something drastic.
Yeah.
By the way, what do you think about John Hamm's hair in this movie?
It was awesome.
I agree.
What do you call that style where it's sort of shaved, but you've got the long top that kind of flops over?
That would be an undercut.
An undercut, yes.
I've looked into this.
Okay. All right. I'm going to, as a good older brother, I'm just going to shut my damn mouth.
No, I think this is your opportunity to Photoshop.
No, it's okay.
You do great on the artwork, so come on. You could totally Photoshop.
Nope, you're not going to fire me into that.
Last week you put my face up, so come on.
Well, I asked you permission to do that. I did not realize our mom was going to go after you with an ice pick on Facebook. You didn't get to witness that, Drew.
Wait, what happened?
Okay, so Jason, I want you to pull up that Facebook post where I just posted a picture of Jason, you know, with that mask thing with his face printed on it. You gotta read what mom posted, and then what you posted, and then what mom posted again.
It's gonna take me a moment.
Hang it's on. Okay. No, it was the most brutal thing I think I'd ever seen.
It was a little jarring.
It was the first comment was like, "Huh, that's kind of mean," and the second comment was so doubled down and cold. It was like.
It was savage.
It was great.
It was
from
it was,
mom.
It's like mom is radioactive. She's
literally.
Wow. Yes. Oh, maybe I'm playing dear. It up too much, but to me,
no.
I was leaning back, thinking, "Whoa!"
It took my breath away. So Eric posted the picture, and
the picture is with Jason with his. Mask on, but he also had printed out this thing you put over your mask that also looks like your face.
As an anecdote to that, I have now bought printable fabric, so nice. I'm going to print that shit out on fabric, and it's going to be a face mask.
Excellent.
So, mom's comment was that, what'd she say? That is just all kinds of wrong. That was her first response to the picture. And I said, oh, it's fine. Then she said, scary. And Eric says, isn't it though? And yet you can't turn away. And then mom says, reminds me a little of the Twilight Zone episode with the pig people.
Which is great because I remember conversations with our mother when I was a little kid about how that episode terrified her and has haunted her entire life.
I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. So I'm as scary as your entire, the terror of your entire life. Thank you.
And she's implying that if you take off the pig mask, if you take off your Jason mask, you're still Jason underneath, which is horrifying. Anyway.
Thanks, Mom.
Brutal. I love it. Mom still got it.
Yeah, it was savage. It was
don't
surprising.
Throw down against Mother Anderson. She will take you down. Okay, so, sorry, back to the movie.
I mean, unless you tell her you're not coming over.
there's a story to that, too. Okay, what? So we'll get there. So Baby, having done that final job, well, his final job, but Doc knows it's not his final job. By the way, Bats has killed JD, the Asian guy, and so Baby has to go dispose of the car that has JD's body in it. So it seems like there's a lot of unpleasantness going on.
But he's free. That was his last job. He's square with Doc.
Yep. He's happy. And he's got this, he's fell in love and he's just going to drive off into the sunset with his girl with a car they can't afford and no plan at all. And also he gets a job as a pizza delivery driver, which is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we've got this, more flashbacks into how his alcoholic father abused his mother and they got into a fatal car accident while arguing. Then Baby is approached by Doc because he takes Deborah to a fancy restaurant.
The restaurant he heard Buddy and Darling talk about after the first job.
Yes. But Doc picks up the bill and basically says, hey, you're doing this job. And there's no if you want. There's just you're doing this job.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next job is to rob the post office of blank money order forms. And Doc threatens Baby, knowing who he lives with, where he lives, and what his girlfriend is, and all that stuff. So Doc also has Baby go and scout out the post office with his nephew, Sam. It's pretty funny. and they see a friendly bank teller, and they return to Doc's car. So Baby gives all the details to Doc, and then he calls Baby calls Deborah with a plan to drive far away and not look back. She agrees to it. Baby has this black and white fantasy of her waiting for him. So Doc gathers Buddy, Darling, and Bats as the crew with Baby on this last job. So Doc orders the crew to acquire guns from an arms dealer known as the Butcher, played by Paul Williams from Battle of the Planet of the Apes and every damn thing else.
That was another jarring moment.
I love Paul Williams.
And he was great.
He was.
No, he's a goddamn showman. The lovers, the dreamers, he was
quite the butcher. La, na, na,
nee, na, na, na. Yes, he was. It was a little sticky. It was way over the top. It was way more than Jamie Foxx. But again, he was doing the thing, so it was fun. So the arms deal goes bad because Bass decides to just gun down the butcher and his gang because he thinks they're police, which is explained to him later that, yes, they were. They were Doc's police. So now he's fucked everything up. Mm-hmm. So after a pretty serious shootout, they ride back to Doc's.
But on the way, Bats is hungry.
Yes. So, oh, by the way, yeah, and before they go to the arms deal, Bats wanted to use the bathroom, get some gum. And so he goes into
the... No. He wanted to use the bathroom and asked if...
Oh, yes.
If What's-His-Nuts wanted anything.
Yes, if Buddy wanted some.
If Buddy wanted some gum. No, if Buddy wanted anything, and Buddy was like, ah, I'll use some gum. Right?
Yeah. So, presumably, Bats, like, shot the clerk, sold a bunch of gum, just for thrillsies. But on the way back from the arms deal, Bats is hungry, and they stop by Bo's Diner, where Deborah works. And this is a very tense exchange, where Baby stops Bats from basically killing Deborah. Mm-hmm. Or at least robbing her at gunpoint. But presumably he's going to kill her, because that's what Bats does. So...
This is a great scene between Jon Hamm and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, it is. They all go back to Doc's because they're going to spend the night because they got to get up early. So at the diner, Baby has slipped a note to Deborah saying 2 a.m. road trip. So Baby's going to slip out. Yet he is stopped by both Buddy and Bats. So, and Bats finds Baby's recorder, which is a problem.
Yep.
Because his cover story seems improbable.
Yes. And so he says, yes, I make tapes. Well, show us one of these tapes. Well, they're in my place. Well, they go to his place. They knock him out. And when he wakes up, they have his tapes and they play the tapes.
They also have Joe's wheelchair.
Yes, it's very sinister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baby is in a no-win situation. Because he's already stood up his girlfriend.
Nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Well, as it turns out. So then we have this post office heist, which is pretty great. And the song that plays during the whole chase, including the parkour chase sequence, the song is Hocus Pocus by the band Focus. Lonely, 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 lo-pa-bum. I love this song. It's such a great driving song. And the fact that it's followed right afterward by Radar Love, it's also mm-hmm. great because it's also a really driving song.
Jamie Foxx impaled was very satisfying.
Yes, it was. Yes, using technology to turn off your airbag. And yeah. And the fact that Buddy is invincible, much like Mike Myers, but not the one they had the masks for, which is pretty great.
Well, he has the hair.
He does have the hair and the attitude. There's a movie where Stanley Tucci has this very hair.
For real?
Yeah, I think so.
Stanley Tucci?
Yeah.
He's been bald since he was like 7.
Doesn't matter. He was wearing a wig or something. Pretty sure it's Stanley Tucci.
Was it Mamma Mia?
Oh, was it Stanley Tucci in that terrible...
Could have been Lovely Bones, too.
Tim Allen yeah. movie that flopped that you made us watch? It was released around 9/11? What?
Tim Allen movie?
Wasn't it Tim Allen?
Wasn't that like episode 4?
Yeah.
I made you watch a Tim Allen movie? Yeah, Big Trouble. Yeah, it's a fucking great movie. I love that movie.
You made us watch a Tim Allen movie? You don't even remember. That's how good it was.
No, it was a reason. No, it actually, you summed up the entire movie.
He just made you watch that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think everybody should watch it. What it's not was a that Tim Allen movie?
Was that not
it's
Stanley Tucci?
Jason Lee, Stanley Tucci, Janine Garofalo. It has everybody. Rene Russo.
Sofia Vergara, right?
Yeah, everybody. It's got everybody in it. Yeah, so the heist goes bad, and
well, it goes bad because Baby doesn't like people getting killed.
Oh yeah, and everybody's going to get killed, including him.
And the lady at the post office was really nice and talked to him about music.
Yes. Yeah, and so when he's in the back and she's going toward the employee entrance, and he gives her a look like, get the fuck out of here. So she recognized that look.
Well, she recognized him, I think, sort
yeah.
of waving
oh, yeah.
at
she
him.
Gave him the heads up, yeah. And, yeah, so she got the get the hell out of there look, but got the hell out of there and got help, which does not work in this situation for the help who arrived there. Got shot for his trouble, but oh well. I did like the idea of those goofy glasses. Unclear whether those would have helped or not, but it was certainly fun to see the glasses with the LED so that you wouldn't be picked up on the cameras or something. Mm-hmm. So after this big long chase, and is this last forever? And Buddy is going to be a problem the entire time. They even steal another car from these guys, which I thought was another good scene.
Who's running through the mall?
Yeah, actually, hang on just a second. I need to run real quick. Talk amongst yourself. Topic, Hocus Pocus by Focus. It had a flute.
Fucking flute.
I never knew the name of that song.
No. There's no reason to.
I did enjoy the fact that Baby never took off his sunglasses.
even though
half of them were smashed. It reminded me of your cracked Ray-Bans.
Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
My children are so spoiled that when my wife and I talk about those old days in college when we had like zero money, they literally cannot fathom what we're talking about. They're so overprivileged.
We were having a discussion at work. I can't remember what came up, but I was talking about when I first moved to Portland, I was trying to figure out how much I could buy at the grocery store that would last me long enough to my next paycheck so that I could pay my rent and not get evicted. But I also needed to eat and go to work. So I was trying to do that math in my head, and then I forgot that where I was in Washington at the time, because I took a couple of days and went on a road trip. There was sales tax, and that blew me out of the water.
Yeah, that fucks up all the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, sales tax is the Alaskan boys.
So then it was that whole embarrassing, like putting stuff back and driving back to Oregon and being, we'll just buy stuff there. Yeah, it was a sad weekend. But nobody else was eating my food at that point, so that was an improvement in my life.
Ouch.
Oh well, so back to I don't know what you're talking about. So
I bought this case of SpaghettiOs, help yourself. I know you hate them, but here, I bought them.
Buying things I'm allergic to, except I'm not allergic to anything. I thought of you as my wife was eating Cheeto Puffs today.
Because of tomato soup?
And tomato soup, yeah.
You know, funny thing, completely off the rails again. My Discord channel for one of the games that I play, the group that I'm in, we were talking about weird food things, and I mentioned that. And there's a lovely lady from the UK who thinks that I'm genius now, because she thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it's
cheese puffs and tomato soup?
Mm-hmm.
Oy.
I'm not a tomato soup fan. At least I wasn't when I was a kid. God knows what I am now. Well, I finished off the growler of salsa by taking shots of salsa because we sort of ran out of chips. Oh, so good. It's not spicy at all. It's just basically like chunky onion tomato juice with lime and salt.
made to sound quite tasty from your description.
Again, I don't, you know, it's I got nothing.
Drew, are you still traumatized by tomato soup?
I cannot eat tomato soup.
Yeah.
It's no good. Okay, my youngest daughter loves it.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I remember when Journey was eating tomato soup, and she just didn't want any water added. She eat it out of the can with the spoon. It's like, no, you can't.
Stephanie has. She would eat Campbell's, it was the cheddar soup and the bean soup out of a can without just right out of the can.
Oh.
It used to make Monica nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would make me nuts, too.
Why?
Well, okay. First of all, my lovely wife introduced me to the world of not putting an entire can of water into those condensed soups.
Yes, it makes them.
Like, what are you, what kind of, what sorcery is this? Just, no, it tastes better. Like,
yeah.
You're not following the rules. It's like people that put their ramen in cold water. What the fuck is that? You know, you put the ramen in the water, you turn the water on, it boils, it gets soft, it's noodles. What the fuck do you want? It's not the rules. The rule says boil the water, throw the ramen in 2 minutes, and then you turn off the thing, and it says 1 minute, and then you just turn it, and then you put it in. Hey, it's just noodles. Calm the fuck down. Yeah, okay.
Says the man who does shots of salsa.
No, we all have our crust to bear. I'm not saying I'm not holier than thou. It just never occurred to me to color outside of those lines.
Oh, okay.
Never. Recipes are not suggestions. Recipes, you know, are what you need to do to get the shit that you want.
You know what'll really blow your mind? Waffles made out of tater tots.
Not happening. Nah, I did do the try to do waffles made out of stovetop stuffing. Here's the problem with that. Stovetop stuffing is not great stuffing to begin with.
Nope.
And when you put it in a waffle iron for long enough to get it nice and crispy on the outside, there's nothing sort of soft on the inside like you would want with, like if you did stuffing muffins. Like, I love the crusty stuffing dressing. Are you laughing, Jason, because we're off the rails?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So,
no, I was just going to mention next is, you know, because the beer batter waffles.
Well, okay, but the thing is, if you make the stuffin' waffles, then I thought, okay, I made the stuffin' waffles, and I use that as bread and put, like turkey and mayonnaise and cranberry sauce, right? As a great sandwich. Like, it's a perfect sandwich, except it just didn't work out that way. It was like too much, really. It's better to have like a sandwich that maybe has a layer of stuffing in it, even though it seems like a lot of bread, than it is to have the stuffing as bread.
I have had that exact sandwich. It was in Columbus, Ohio at a hotel.
It's delightful, isn't it?
Oh, it was so great. It was, it had all the layers. It had mashed potatoes that had been kind of fried up in a patty.
Ah.
It had a layer of stuffing. It had the turkey. And then it had a jam of the cranberry sauce on this, like, thick, crusty bread. And then like a French dip, but yes, with
turkey gravy.
Turkey gravy.
Yes.
Oh. And it was so good. I still think fondly of that sandwich.
That's similar.
That was probably like 15 years ago.
Similar to a traditional hot brown.
I'm sorry.
I think we're talking about different things.
No, hot brown sandwich, I think, is like traditionally a maybe it's a roast beef sandwich. Could be a turkey sandwich. Open face with gravy on the top. That's all. Like a brown gravy. Anyway, to finish this movie. We're an hour into chit-chatting about it, not really getting anywhere. But so Baby ends up, in a really weird, interesting scene. Over the top scene, he ends up killing Buddy, and then he goes to jail.
Well, you had skipped over.
Yeah, there's a 20 minute chase scene.
Yes.
With like a interlude in the cafe where it calms down for a second, and then it turns into another like 8 minute chase scene.
Oh, and the scene in the cafe where we think that John Hamm is long dead and Baby comes to grab Deborah and take her away, but John Hamm is sitting there at the diner. And then a cop comes in to use the bathroom. Yeah. It's very tense.
Tremendous tension in that scene.
Yep. And John Hamm is so good. John Hamm is just a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, a nice guy. He pops in on the Jimmy Pardo podcast, Never Not Funny, now and then. Because he's also a guy that likes comedy. And isn't afraid of being dumb, which I think is great. He doesn't take himself too seriously, at least in the context I have seen him in. Which is endearing to me. Unlike, say, a Kevin Spacey character. Sorry, a Kevin Spacey person.
He does get annoyed if people ask him to comment on the rumor that they had to customize his suits on Mad Men.
Because of his prodigious endowment.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that would get old.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Well, I'm sure he and Michael Fassbender belonged to the same support group about that sort of issue.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he and Fassbender, Tommy Lee, Milton Berle for a little while. It was rarefied air for sure. So, Willem Dafoe apparently also just out of nowhere. Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Well, you can just confirm that by watching like any Lars von Trier movie, right?
Oh, did you see The House That Jack Built?
No.
The House That Jack Built is way better than it had any right to be. Because it's got all the Lars von Trier, like, artistic bullshit. But Matt Dillon is so good. I don't want to like him because it was Little Darling still. But I think I should probably get over that. Yeah, he's just so good. And it's bizarre. The story is bizarre in a Lars von Trier way. But it didn't make me... like super uncomfortable, like what Antichrist or I didn't even bother with the Nymphomaniac films. It's like, no, thank you. Back to me, whatever. He does his jail time, gets out of jail, and they ride away in the sunset.
Yeah.
The end.
And we find out his name is actually Miles.
Yes. And we get to hear Baby Driver by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, this is like a really upbeat ending to a feel-good story that involved lots of murder and robbery.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
To give away my final thought out of normal sequence, I thought this was great. I thought it was fun. I only gave it 3 stars out of 5 on was it a Letterboxd or whatever, because, you know, it's... I'm not sure. It might have some fun rewatch value because of all the music involved, but and the acting is great. I don't know. It's pretty good. Maybe I gave it 3.5.
It really does. Rewatch is well worth the time.
Oh, cool.
Especially if you can grab a copy with all the subtitles.
Yeah. I must have just watched it with the wrong settings. I'm just saying.
There's tons of musical cues that I missed the first time I watched it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure lots of background things, too.
Well, there's all kinds of things that are tied to the beats of the music. Mm-hmm. All the gunfights. Yep. Like, everything, almost everything is choreographed to the music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which must have been either it was a tremendous, tremendous amount of editing, or it was some obsessive choreography.
Or both. I'm sure all of the above, yeah.
So, no, Edgar Wright makes good movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Brother Jay, any more notes? And Jesse didn't make it through this movie?
Mm-mm.
I think this will be way up his alley.
What are you talking about?
Cars. He likes
no,
cars.
I know. I was just kidding. Now, I would have thought this would have been...
I don't know why you have to make it so sexual all the time.
What? Anyways, go ahead. You made it awkward. I think that the beginning, he was interested in the beginning. And then I think as the plot started to meander, then he was just like done. So I think part of my problem, cause I would give this movie probably a B, maybe. I think my problem with it is that some of the, like the James, so the Bats character was just, for me, way too over the top. And so that was really kind of taking me out of the movie. But then I was really satisfied when he got impaled. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I also saw that coming the instant he parked the car. I knew what was going to happen. It was telegraphed so far forward. So
it's great, though.
I mean, only like one car length forward.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
This movie is absolutely worth it. I love this movie. It's so much fun. It's extremely fast paced. Tons of car chases. It's like three different heists. It's so great.
So many briefcases and bags.
So many, and they're all different. Each heist is different.
Yeah.
The driving scenes, like you mentioned, are fantastic, and the music is. The way he incorporates the soundtrack into the action of the movie, not just in that first scene with Baby walking with the lyrics.
Don't you think the action was incorporated into the music and not the other way around?
Well, he integrated them together in a way that was really fun and creative. And I even love the fact that Baby's taste in music is pretty anachronistic.
Yeah.
It makes, you know, that along with... Deborah's outfit really makes this movie seem timeless. And John Hamm's awesome, like, 30s gangster haircut. Just everything about this movie I thought worked really well.
Hold on. Now I know where I recognize the hair. It's Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
No.
Zorg. Yes. Yeah. Without the plastic.
It's just one click. One click to Gary Oldman.
Oh yeah, one click. You got to take the undercut that John Hamm has and like give it like a slight like poofy pompadour on one side. Then you got it.
Okay, I'm telling you, it's just one click away.
We're all one click away
from John Hamm. Yeah, you wish, buddy.
Pig face.
Oh. Cut so deep. Okay. I love this movie too. I thought it was great. It's great. It's a great escape movie. It actually has some, I like the relationships. I think all the actors do a great job. I like all the characters for the most part. It's just goofy enough, that it's fun. But it's not so over the top that it's unbelievable. It's just great. I liked it. Housekeeping.
I finished the Elton John biography book on audiobook.
What's it called?
Me by Elton John. This is after I finished the...
this right there. He should have consulted Bernie Taupin. Like, you can tell he doesn't write the words.
In my succession of... audiobooks from the library, how it timed out of all of my shelf request holds. So this is the succession of books: Wham! The George Michael and Me Andrew Ridgeley story, followed by the My Thoughts Exactly by Lily Allen, followed by Face It by Deborah Harry, and then Me by Elton John.
What's next on your list?
I'm actually so gone completely a different direction now. What I'm listening to now is The Day the World Came to Town.
The Day the World Came to Town.
Yeah, it's the story about Gander, Newfoundland on 9/11.
Oh.
How the population of a town of like 6,000 people took in like 12,000 people.
Amazing. I'll have to take a gander.
Yeah, so that's been interesting. But I stumbled, for some reason, I stumbled onto a podcast, which I'm listening to right now out of kind of maybe partially as a kind of a Schadenfreude train wreck kind of experiment. I've listened to quite a few episodes. So it's basically these two guys that the podcast name is The Step Too Far, and I don't know if either of you have heard of this podcast.
Never heard it.
So it's these two guys that just banter back and forth, and they're evidently friends somehow. But when I went to listen to the podcast, it starts like 12 episodes in. You can't get any of the first episodes. And it turns out they had a third guy to the podcast that quit the podcast and threatened them. And so they couldn't have any of those episodes available. So they'll reference this guy that used to do these terrible things on their podcast that doesn't exist anymore. So it's interesting to listen to. I don't know if I like it or not. They're sometimes funny and sometimes just cringy.
Do they have a particular topic or?
Well,
is it just a chat show where they are irreverent?
No, they usually take topics from people who make suggestions on Facebook, where they solicit things. Like, tell us the worst boss you ever had. And then they would compare stories and tie it. So, but they also go off topic quite a bit, which is what I think appeals to me about it. Cause it's a bit of Schadenfreude. And I don't know. I haven't decided if I like it. It makes me laugh, but then also I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It's an interesting choice.
Do you have any particular episode you'd recommend over another?
I'll have to take a look. I don't know. I've listened to a lot because they're only like 30 minutes.
Okay.
They're heavily edited. Because I think normally they record for a couple, 2-3 hours and they get like a half an hour of content out of it. Because they have a Patreon paywall if you want all of the stuff. I'm not there yet, so.
Okay, you know what irritates me? You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I get paywalls. I understand. I actually pay for some podcasts, but like Slate. I like Slate, a lot of their podcasts. There's something called the Trump Cast. But the problem is, if you have a bonus episodes behind your paywall or you get episode extensions behind your paywall, that's fine. What I hate is like every fourth Trump Cast podcast is behind the paywall. And yet they give you the first 15 minutes of it as a teaser. And of course it's always a topic you're going to be interested in. So it's like mother trucker. So I just know I have to look at the episode length and just automatically delete it. Cause I don't want to hear the first quarter of something. Don't tease me. Don't tease me, Slate.
So one of the episodes that I think I laughed at was it's part two of four, but it's actually ended up, it was only three parts. So they just screwed with the audience. The episode was May 1st, 2019. It's called Bake Sales and Backward Stairs. I won't give it away, but.
Okay. But you can start with part two of four?
Yeah, because there's actually only three parts anyway. You could start with part one of four, which ends up being part one of three, but.
This sounds like the opposite of an Eric story.
There's that. Anyway, so that's all I got. On top of that, the dog needed to go to the vet because he's like chewing on himself and he smells bad, and so it's his skin. But taking the dog to the vet in these days of COVID is challenging because the vet's office is basically, I had to fill out all this paperwork and email it to them. And then I went to the vet and I call them from the car. And then they said they will send somebody out to get the dog. And then they take the dog in and then I have to wait until the vet wants to talk to me. So the dog, And I knew he was going to be due for like his rabies shot because it's been 3 years and he'd need a couple other maintenance things. He needed a good tune up and I try and have them trim his nails because me doing it usually ends up in my own blood being drawn. So I just thought it's worth the $15 the vet charges. It's like worth every penny. But he gets really, aggressive is the wrong term. He gets very nervous when people try to cut his nails or if people are trying to give him shots, which, like, hey, I understand. So last, a couple, three times ago, they gave me a drug called acepromazine to give him, which basically tranquilizes him to all kinds of crazy levels of drooling and near unconsciousness. The problem with that is then I have to carry him around. And he's 90 pounds, so it's not really an easy, you know, not easy thing. So, but last time I gave him acepromazine and took him into the vet, it didn't do anything. It didn't mellow him out at all, zero. So the vet told me, said, hey, why don't we try trazodone? Because that should probably work better. It's a, you know, sleeping aid slash slightly sedating medication. So we tried that. So today I gave him 200 milligrams, which is a lot, by the way, 200 milligrams of trazodone and drove him to the vet. Didn't mellow him out. The vet took him back. The vet calls me, says, you're outside? Yes. Yeah. So he comes out to talk to me about the dog. And he starts asking some questions, and we have some banter about the dog's diet and the food and what he needs. And then he said, you know, so here's what we're going to do today. And he's really kind of excited and hyper. And I said, well, he gets like that because he really likes the vet's office for some reason. I don't know why, because he's crazy. Some Munchausen by proxen or something. I don't know. Anyway. So he said, well, here's what we're going to do. We'll cut his nails if you want. I said, yes, you're going to need to give him some Benadryl to calm him down. Because that's probably the only thing that will take the edge off. The trazodone started to kind of help. But so they went in, they gave him his rabies, they gave him his Bordetella, they gave him the leptospirosis and the whatever the hell else they gave him. and the vet comes back out and says, well, okay, I got everything done. Have you ever tried to trim his nails? And I said, oh, yes, that's why I'm having you do it. Because it's terrible. It's horrendous. And the vet said, I'm over 300 pounds and I could barely handle him. And I told him, I said, oh, I understand. That's why I'm paying you to do it. Because I don't want to have to deal with it. And so he told me, he said, the trazodone clearly didn't work even with the Benadryl. So I'm going to recommend some acepromazine for you to give him. And so then I had to go back over this whole story. But the entire time, the vet would keep coming out to the parking lot to talk to me and then going back in. And I mean, I guess I appreciate that he was doing that, but he could have just called me on the phone. It wouldn't have, I mean, at that point, it wouldn't have mattered. I couldn't see the dog and he was leaving the building and I don't know. So I don't know. It was just this weird kind of happenstance formality. So
I wonder just, especially with this kind of situation, I wonder if the techs and the vet themselves are dealing with the dog and thinking, oh no, I have to meet the guy who brought this dog in. I got to see what this family looks like.
Maybe, I suppose. but he committed to me because Griffin was in a kennel in the back of my SUV, and I have a ramp for him to get in and out of with. So he committed me on that. He said, most people don't go to the trouble of the ramp. And I said, well, I appreciate that you're commending me for it, but, my motives are probably more selfish than anything, as I just don't want him scratching up the back of the car and the bumper and all that. So I don't know how much you should pat me on the back there, but anyway, so things are crazy. Portland, well, I shouldn't say Portland. My county is still locked down. They're not actually at the point where they're even considering applying to reopen yet. So we'll see. The governor extended our emergency order until July. So
it's going to be rough, man.
Yeah. But then I was reading today on CNN about how the 17-year cicadas are going to come out this year. So...
Oh, nice.
But not here.
For the Jeepers Creepers guy, too. It's
I don't think Portland has a lot of cicadas, but we'll see.
Drew, you have cicadas in Missouri while you're there?
Yes. Holy crap.
Seems like a bad deal.
You also had flying cockroaches.
That was something where it was the experience where you're in this completely insane set of circumstances and nobody else seems to care. And they try and make you feel like you're the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a fucking biblical plague. Why is nobody reacting?
They'll just go away.
Fucking brushing them off their car like a snowfall.
Ugh. Ugh. That's just so gross. I would leave and never come back.
That was the plan. Yeah. It's working out so far.
Drew?
I got a COVID test this week. That was exciting.
So what brought that on?
Did you get a swab all the way to the back of your brain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not prepared for that.
Nobody is. No, they're shocked. Yeah. People are shocked at... because people are used to getting like tonsil swabs and they're used to like little nasal swabs. No, this goes all the way to the back.
Yeah, my
this like should buy you dinner first.
My place of employment procured a bunch of the finger prick antibody tests. So they're offering those to anybody who wanted them.
Oh, that's cool. Sort of.
Turns out they have a lot of false positives.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went in and, you know, it looks like the same sort of theory like a pregnancy test is. If it detects the presence of two different types of antibodies, one shows whether you have like an active antibody or an antibody to the active virus, which would indicate that you are currently infected with COVID, and one that shows if you have like an older antibody, which would indicate that you had already gotten it and may have some immunity, although it's unclear. It's unclear whether immunity is even a thing right now.
So much lack of clarity.
Yes. So I went in, got that. Went home after about a half hour. I got a phone call. I said, "Hey, you need to come back." And so I actually said, "Cool. Why?" I said, "Well, we can't tell you." I was like, "Well, this isn't good news." So I went back and they said I came back positive. So positive for the immunity antibodies and positive for the active. Which is nuts, because I've been pretty locked down for 2 months and completely covered up and obsessive about hand washing and everything. So I was really feeling like if this is not a false positive, then our entire species is doomed. So the protocol was to do another finger prick test, verify those results, but also get a nasal swab at the time and send that in. And so I subjected myself to that. That was great. She kept pushing the swab in there were like three, because it's not a quick thing.
No.
Which is probably good. But there were at least three different occasions where I thought, oh my God, there's no way that can go any further.
And then they reach another angle?
Yeah. Well, they made me sit. They made me tip my head back so she could get a good angle on it. Yeah, when she was...
Was it both painful and unpleasant or just unpleasant?
Oh, it was both. Yeah, it's a painful...
And it lingers.
Yeah, I'm still feeling not right.
Yeah, yep.
Like, I don't know if you ever if you ever go swimming and you kind of get a little bit upside down, you get like water up in your nose cavity and it kind of burns a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that multiplied by a bunch. In addition to being super uncomfortable, So while she was like unwrapping the swab, she's like, this is going to be unpleasant. I was like, yeah, I hear that.
She's really underselling it, by the way.
Yeah. Like unpleasant. Like, am I going to cry? She's like, oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody cries. If you don't scream, you'll be doing good.
Well,
and
no, I did not. I mean, come on, you know, I didn't. Yeah. She complimented me after she got done, and my eyes were watering. She complimented me on being so calm. And in my head, I went on this whole rant about, look, stoic is not calm. The last thing I am right now is calm after what you just did to me.
You just raped my brain.
Yeah. But instead, I just said, thank you. And I grabbed a paper towel to dab my eyes.
Sorry. I empathize.
Yeah. So they FedEx those swabs out to an outside lab, and they say 2 to 4 days till I get results.
On a holiday weekend.
Yeah. Day two is today. So hopefully earlier or early in the week.
So a lot of the tests, I shouldn't say a lot. There is a fair number of tests, more than should be, are false positiving right now.
We had all the people at our work that were positive were false positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the problems with the tests, and which is feeding into the frenzy of people that believe that even though we really don't have evidence, I say we, the medical community doesn't have evidence yet, that people could get reinfected, because they're saying, well, people tested positive and then they tested negative and then they're testing positive again. Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many moving parts to that. Possibly the first test was negative and it false positive. It's also possible that they were negative, and then false positive again. So it's really, because there's so many different companies that are not officially approved and aren't even necessarily accurate. It's just crazy.
It's basically just testing for the presence of a SARS-like coronavirus.
Right. Coronavirus are common.
Yeah. Yeah. And this virus is actually, I didn't realize that we probably had this conversation on the pod before, but COVID-19 is the disease you get, and COVID-SARS-2 is the virus itself. So it's naming nomenclature is weird.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna false positives. I'm not really sweating it. I mean, I'm staying away from people. Came back out to Willow.
But have you haven't had a fever or any symptoms?
No, yeah. No symptoms.
Yeah. See, and when was your initial test?
Wednesday.
So by Monday, if you haven't developed any symptoms by Monday, you're probably just fine.
So yeah, that's about the time I should be getting the results from the swab back. So
maybe.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.